Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Schon viel über Kryptowährungen gehört, aber noch keinen richtigen Zugang gefunden? Der Einstieg in Kryptowährungen muss nicht kompliziert sein. Mit Xtrackers ETCs kannst du kostengünstig in die Zukunft investieren. Einfach übers klassische Depot. Auf xtrackers.de findest du viel Wissenswertes zu dieser spannenden Anlageklasse. Nimm deine finanzielle Zukunft selbst in die Hand. Schritt für Schritt mit Xtrackers. Investitionen unterliegen Risiken. Dieser Beitrag ist eine Werbemitteilung der DWS International GmbH, Frankfurt.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to BBC's award-winning news podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get current affairs podcasts like Global News, Americast and The Global Story, plus other great BBC podcasts from history to comedy to true crime, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.
A speedboat zooms out across the bay. Everyone on board intensely scans the top of the water. They're looking for fins or noses. And then they stop and try and get a signal. Activist Femke Den Haas is holding a tracker that's trying to connect to electronic tags that are on three precious bottlenose dolphins.
It's 1 hour after the release of the dolphins and they swam straight out of the bay. And we are now doing a survey, and we got some signal, but we haven't traced it yet. What's that?
For the documentary on the BBC World Service, this is The Great Dolphin Release. I'm Rebecca Hinschke. Also here in Bali, monitoring Indonesia's first dolphin release, is the world's most famous dolphin trainer.
Hello, my name is Rick O'Barry. I'm a director and founder of Dolphin Project.
He's now in his 80s, his messy mop of hair a striking white. As a young man, Rick helped set up the global trade in captive dolphins.
I got started in all of this at the Miami Seaquarium. I went to work there when I got discharged from the Navy. I was a diver on the capture boat, and we were in Biscayne Bay off of Miami, Florida, hunting dolphins.
Facing the sparkling waters of the Florida Straits is the Miami Seaquarium, 60 acres of sea adventure. Right now, the Seaquarium's star attractions are a family of dolphins whose range of ability is truly remarkable.
The original dolphins, captive dolphins, to fill all those tanks all over Europe, came from South Florida or Cuba.
And what was going through your mind, if you can remember back? What were you thinking at that
point? Yeah, I wasn't thinking. I really wasn't thinking, and I mean that quite literally. I was 21 years old. I had been in the military since I was 15, from 15 to 20. I was discharged from the Navy at 20. I was used to following orders. And so I didn't think. It was a very exotic job.
An exotic job that would become even more glamorous. From a diver, he was promoted to a trainer.
And then came Rico Browning to the Seaquarium.
Filmmaker Rico Browning wanted to make a show starring a dolphin called Flipper.
Long story short, Rico made a deal. The Seaquarium would donate the dolphins, five dolphins and one dolphin trainer. And so I was chosen. I was just lucky. right place, right time kind of thing. Or maybe it's karma. I don't know. It wasn't long after that, I was the highest paid animal trainer in the world. I was getting paid $85 a week, and I didn't even know how to train a dolphin. It's so bizarre when I look back on that.
They call him Flipper, Flipper, faster than lightning. No one you see is smarter than he. And we know Flipper lives in a world full of wonder, flying there under the sea.
In the hit show that first aired in the 1960s, a 12-year-old boy befriends an injured dolphin. Flipper saves lives, apprehends criminals, and performs the famous tail-walking trick, choreographed by Rick O'Barry.
Now, at first, there was nothing wrong with it. I loved that job. But at some point, you start seeing things from the dolphin's point of view. And at best, we are friendly enemies. It's more of a master-slave relationship. You control their life with this bucket of fish. All of this time you're spending with them, you're bonding with them, you're building up trust with capital letters, trust. And then when you go to fly them somewhere or take them to the Orange Bowl, to be the mascot for the Miami Dolphins football team, or take them to the Everglades, water in the Everglades to film some scene in fresh water, and you're violating that trust. So I'm constantly trying to build up this trust, and I'm constantly violating it.
Flipper was played by 5 different dolphins. The main one Rick trained was called Kathy.
Kathy, who was the dolphin we all thought of as Flipper. She did 90% of the television series. The show ended and the dolphins were treated just like the rest of the props and the costumes. Everything went in the lockers and into the closets, and Kathy was still there until just about Earth Day 1970. And she committed suicide. She literally died in my arms, took that last breath and just held it. And she was looking me right in the eye. But she was gone.
And you definitely felt like it was a conscious decision by her.
It's self-induced asphyxiation. That's how I would describe it in the English language. Dolphins are not automatic air breathers like we are. Every breath they take is a conscious effort. So if life becomes too unbearable, yes, it is possible for them to make a conscious decision not to take that next breath.
And what was going through your mind when you were looking at Kathy?
Guilt. That was the first thing. I'm the one who captured her. That's how we met. So, what else? I don't really want to talk about this anymore.
What he wants to talk about is how he spent the rest of his life on the other side, working to end the captive dolphin industry he was once part of. And it's that work that led him to Indonesia, to animal rights activist Femke Den Haas, the woman on the boat tracking the dolphins. For her, this story began in 2008 when she received a phone call from a distressed woman in Jakarta.
So you just picked up the phone one day,
yeah.
and what did she say?
She said, I'm here at the dolphin show in Bekasi at this football field. And there's a tent set up there, and she was watching the show, and one dolphin died. So please, can you go and check it? I was so confused and shocked and seemed surreal, and I thought maybe she's talking about other animals. Like, I just couldn't imagine dolphins being inside a swimming pool in a football field in Jakarta.
If you haven't been to Jakarta, it's a loud, high-density megacity with some of the world's worst traffic.
We went to the football fields, and indeed there was a big tent, and I was horrified seeing all these posters with a baby bear on a bicycle and dolphins jumping through hoops. And it just, yeah, you can't imagine, you know, having such a big city, so much traffic, and then there's this one football field with a plastic tent with a tarp, and there were dolphins in it.
With this music blaring from the speakers, the dolphins in the small pool would perform tricks to a crowd of mostly children. It was a family-run, travelling dolphin circus, the last of its kind anywhere in the world.
And they were moving around from village to village, from city to city. And any place where they could put a tent, which even meant behind big shopping malls, parking lots, they would put a tent.
And when the show was over, the dolphins would be packed up into the back of trucks in a tank just big enough to fit them and driven to the next town.
When a dolphin is in the ocean, its body is light. As soon as you lift the dolphin out of the water, gravity starts to work, and so it hurts. The body becomes heavy. These circuses could travel with the dolphins for over 30 hours inside a box like that. It's very stressful, and many would die on the way because it's painful for them to be out of the water for so long.
This was the life of Johnny, Rambo, and Rocky. While Femke was intensely campaigning to try and get the world's last travelling dolphin circus closed down, these three dolphins were retired from the circus and sold to a hotel owner in Bali.
And they'd been there, kept to interact with people, and people would pay to swim with them. People pay quite a lot of money, you know, for this 50 minutes interaction.
Selling tickets for, you know, dolphin-assisted therapy, it's called. And it's a fraud. In the case of a hotel, it was literally a toilet. And I don't say that to be unkind. Dolphins urinate and defecate 3 to 5 times the quantity that people do. And when you have three dolphins in a swimming pool, that's a lot of filth in there.
They reported their concerns to the Indonesian government. Years passed. Other dolphins died in the hotel pool. More reports failed. And then Femke got another key phone call. This time from the Indonesian Environment Ministry.
I mean, it's like the phone call you're dreaming about, and then suddenly it's happening. Like, yeah, we're willing to free the dolphins. It's something that you want to hear for like 12 years or more. So, and yeah, so I was overwhelmed with joy and emotions, you know. Yeah, because for so many years you just see them in the swimming pool, and then suddenly you get this phone call, you know. And the phone call that you think you would never get, right?
By now she was working with Rico Barry and his team. And together, on August the 5th, 2019, they arrived at the hotel to take Rocky and Rambo.
Ice somewhere. Femke, yep, this is so we're here with about a team of about 15 people, Jakarta Animal Aid Network, got 4 veterinarians, about 15 people. So here we are in the parking lot, and we're about to confiscate. We're going to take 2 of them with us today and place them in a temporary facility where for the first time in 12 years they will experience the natural rhythms of the sea and the tide and the current. They've been living in a swimming pool in this hotel for about 12 years. Also confiscated from the hotel will be crocodiles, monkeys, parrots, porcupines, snakes, various animals. So it's been a long time coming, but we're going to shut them down today. Today is a good day.
2 months later, they went back for Johnny.
This is Johnny here, entertaining tourists. We're now going to empty his tank, put him in the truck, take him to the ocean. One more time. Johnny is blind in one eye, by the way. It's doubtful he can be released, but we'll see. We're going to look at all of them very carefully.
Schon viel über Kryptowährungen gehört, aber noch keinen richtigen Zugang gefunden? Der Einstieg in Kryptowährungen muss nicht kompliziert sein. Mit Xtrackers ETCs kannst du kostengünstig in die Zukunft investieren. Einfach übers klassische Depot. Auf xtrackers.de findest du viel Wissenswertes zu dieser spannenden Anlageklasse. Nimm deine finanzielle Zukunft selbst in die Hand. Schritt für Schritt mit Xtrackers. Investitionen unterliegen Risiken. Dieser Beitrag ist eine Werbemitteilung der DWS International GmbH, Frankfurt.
Rising temperatures, the extreme weather, melting ice, they're all interconnected.
How can we solve this?
The Climate Question is the podcast exploring why we find it so hard to save our own planet.
We have many of the tools that we need.
And how we might change that.
If we do smart things right now, we can take care of our descendants.
It is a question of awareness, it is a question of information and access to that information.
The Climate Question from the BBC World Service.
It is based on experience and it is based on science.
Listen now wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Able to lift them out of these chemical swimming pools, you know, the chemical waters, and to bring them into the seawater was just such an amazing feeling for everybody involved. And you could feel their relief, you know, when we placed them inside the seawater. You could almost feel their relief. It was just incredible. The moment was just magic.
And so it's a matter of closing the place down, getting the dolphins out of the toilet bowl, and simply putting them in natural seawater, clean, clear seawater, where there's a tide that changes a couple of times a day, and the current, and the sound of the sea, and the rain, and the wind, all of this, these things we take for granted, they have healing properties. So it's nature that's healing them. We're just giving back to them the same things that were taken away from them when they were captured.
Here with them is Cecilo, their former trainer in the Travelling Dolphin Circus and later the hotel.
Apalagi dia kalau yang dulu kita push untuk renang.
We used to push them to do tricks and let people touch them. We made them do lots of things. Now it's much simpler. We're just letting the dolphins remember how to hunt, so they go back into the wild.
Biar bisa lepas hunting sendiri, sudah bisa kita lepas ke alamnya gitu.
Johnny, Rocky, and Rambo's new home, the Umba Lumba Rehabilitation Release and Retirement Center, a series of sea pens floating in the West Bali National Park. All connected to each other by underwater doors.
The sea pens are very deep. They're like 50 meters deep. If you compare it to the swimming pool, it's 2 meters. So now they finally could dive and thrive, you know, and play. You know, it was incredible for them. It became a beautiful ecosystem with fish and crabs and shrimps and seahorses and pufferfish that the dolphins would play with. Like, it was incredible.
Throughout the night, the local fishermen are dumping live fish in their fishing for us and putting fish into the live sea pen. In the morning, we'll open the gate and let the dolphins go. And they love going in there. It's more than just food. This is mental. This is good activity, physical and mental activity. And it's, they're remembering how to catch fish again.
You're listening to the documentary on the BBC World Service. Cameras and microphones placed in the sea pens record the dolphins' every move, their conversations,
and reveal, as the months pass, their unique personalities.
Rocky, he was the youngest, and he was like this highly energetic dolphin that would never stop playing or never stop asking others to invite them for play. And then there was Rambo, who was very timid in a way. He was more calm. He would always check out the situation before getting involved. Throughout, with the time, you could really see their different characters, which was incredible. Like, Johnny was the oldest. He had been through a lot in his life. He was just so happy to finally be around other dolphins, and he really became the leader.
It was Johnny who would be the first one to swim through the gates into the live fish pen each morning. But he had a significant handicap. His eye, that they feared was blind, had recovered, but he only had very small teeth. They were filed down in the travelling dolphin show so as not to scare people when they came to take photos with him. And as a result, he was struggling to catch fish.
He started to get less and less confident with hunting because 9 out of 10, the fish would escape, and it was very frustrating for him. And the other two dolphins would be like catching a fish. But yeah, Johnny would be trying really hard, but he could never make the turn, like when he grasped the fish and then he has to turn the fish inside his mouth and then he'll swallow it. They would escape, you know, so it was very hard to watch. Also, we would put underwater cameras so we could watch from a distance what was going on in the water. And we started to think, like, how can we help him to be able to grasp fish?
The solution? A unique set of crowns made and fitted on Johnny's teeth.
Crowns that are not harmful, you know, that won't fall out. It was very solid and it was not painful to place. Johnny then had teeth and then he was catching fish, and it was like a magic moment for Johnny because he was overwhelmed with joy. You could just see the difference and he was so proud. He would even like do a lap around the sea pen and then come up as if he was showing, like, look, I've got a fish. Like, he was... That was such a beautiful moment.
Three years after they were removed from the swimming pool, the doors of the sea pens were opened. Rocky, Rambo, and Johnny could go free.
Johnny, as always being the most confident one and the leader, he went out first, and the others were still a little bit hesitant, but as soon as Johnny went out, they followed. And then the three of them did like sort of half a circle around the sea pen, and then they sort of stayed there for a few minutes, you know, just, I think, you know, yeah, just, I don't know, getting themselves... How do you say that? Like, it was just a big moment for them. So they were just sort of together there, observing their environment, looking around, looking at us, and then they just left the bay.
We didn't set them free. Freedom is about choices and decisions. We opened the gate. If they want to leave, they can leave. If they want to stay, they can stay. If they go and they come back, we'll be there.
I was scared, I was happy, it was all these emotions together, because you don't know, like, also the whole dolphin captive industry was sort of watching us, you know. I mean, it's the first time, yeah, that I mean, dolphins have been released from captivity, of course, around the world it happened, but this whole setup is different, and it was the first time ever that it happened like we did here. And I was proud, you know, I was proud of Indonesia as setting this first example to the world. Like, we can free captive dolphins. These are ex-performing dolphins that are going free.
We've come out to the sea pen at dusk. You can probably hear in the distance the sound of the call to prayer coming from a mosque in the bay. And then also you can hear the sounds of the Balinese gamelan at a temple a bit further along. And I'm looking out across the water back to land and the mountains of West Bali National Park. The bay itself is incredibly calm
and clear. And this is where the sea pen currently sits, sitting empty at the moment, but ready and waiting for the next dolphins. You can see some crabs crawling around on the nets.
We're just maintaining the sea pen, and there's some captive dolphins that were actually, they're now undergoing a legal case, so we'll hear if these dolphins get a chance to be rehabilitated and released as well. So that's what we're waiting for now.
Is what's happening here in Indonesia something that the world can learn from?
I've been invited to Greece, and also people from France have been coming here to learn, because the captive dolphin industry is closing down. People don't want it anymore. In Europe, they're screaming to close these facilities down, and it's happening, and they need an alternative. So if dolphins can be rehabilitated and released, or if dolphins can at least be provided sanctuary, then that should be the right thing to do. And what we did here could serve as an example, totally.
Eventually, they get a signal on that boat in the bay on the day the sea pen doors were opened. And in the days that followed, they track the journey of Johnny, Rocky and Rambo. Cecilo, the trainer who worked with them in captivity and packed them into trucks so they could perform in football fields and shopping malls, was watching closely.
Waktu saya mau lepas, tuh hari-hari mau lepas, saya berharap sekali dia dapat teman itu aja pikiran saya.
On the day of release, I was really hoping they'd be able to find some friends, that Rocky, Rambo and Johnny would find a pod. I had mixed feelings. I was worried but also happy. They were very ready. They could hunt for themselves. They were going back to their natural habitat. May they never be caged again. I wanted them to be free.
Janganlah dikurung lagi, itu aja. Lebih bagus kayak gini, lepas, bebas dia gitu aja.
Rocky, he swam all the way to Australia. We can see on the GPS, and you can see that he clearly that he must have found a pod, because his travels are very structured and organized, as if he knew exactly where he was going. He knew where the currents were coming together, where the best fish is, like where most fish is being in the right season. Like, he really knew what he was doing. It was incredible. Johnny and Rambo, they stayed in the national park and they took it more calm, let's say. You know, they enjoyed just going in the next bay and hunting in the next bay. And then now the sea pen is empty.
And in a successful release, that's exactly how it should be. You'll never see them again. They're not going to be returning to us to be our friends or our pet. They're not our pet. Wild animals don't do that. And they chose to go. And this is how it's done.
The Indonesian government has closed down the world's last travelling dolphin circus. The fate of the other surviving performing dolphins who remain in captivity in Bali is still being decided. You've been listening to the documentary on the BBC World Service with me, Rebecca Henschke. The sound recordings were by Dave Arnold and it was mixed by Jackie Margaram.
Schon viel über Kryptowährungen gehört, aber noch keinen richtigen Zugang gefunden? Der Einstieg in Kryptowährungen muss nicht kompliziert sein. Mit Xtrackers ETCs kannst du kostengünstig in die Zukunft investieren. Einfach übers klassische Depot. Auf xtrackers.de findest du viel Wissenswertes zu dieser spannenden Anlageklasse. Nimm deine finanzielle Zukunft selbst in die Hand. Schritt für Schritt mit Xtrackers. Investitionen unterliegen Risiken. Dieser Beitrag ist eine Werbemitteilung der DWS International GmbH, Frankfurt.
rising temperatures,
the extreme weather,
melting ice,
they're all interconnected.
How can we solve this?
The Climate Question is the podcast exploring why we find it so hard to save our own planet.
We have many of the tools that we need.
And how we might change that.
If we do smart things right now, we can take care of our descendants.
It is a question of awareness, it is a question of information and access to that information.
The Climate Question from the BBC World Service.
It is based on experience and it is based on science.
Listen now wherever you get your BBC podcasts.